Please welcome Rebecca Mandich.
Hi, everyone. So the title of my story tonight is Never Say Never Mind. Sounds like a weird title, but you'll understand really quickly. So let me start my story by saying that I'm from Wisconsin, like he said, and I'm not from like a big city in Wisconsin like Madison or Milwaukee. Like, I'm from Green Bay. My dad is from Okano, where a good time on a Friday night is taking a keg into the middle of a cornfield and just drinking it. So I'm from very rural Wisconsin, where people don't typically move outside of there. So I never thought as a young girl that I would be introduced as like, oh, and this is Rebecca, and she's a Swahili linguist. You know that doesn't just happen overnight. So there was a progression of how this girl that comes from Green Bay, Wisconsin, somehow learned Swahili. So for me, I ended up learning Swahili in college. And I got the interest of learning Swahili in college because I took a gap year after high school and I lived in Kenya and my friends could speak Swahili, but I never learned the language. So when I went into college and had to study foreign language, I was like, let me take Swahili. I will learn how to say things and make them laugh. So I started studying Swahili in college and I actually really loved it. And I was really good at it and I wanted to become fluent in it. So if you want to become fluent in Swahili, you need to go to Zanzibar. Zanzibar is the birthplace of the Swahili language, and it's a really interesting place historically, because before colonization in Africa happened, you had all of these Indian traders and Arab traders coming to Zanzibar, this little island in the Indian Ocean right off the coast of Tanzania, and they developed this language, which is kind of a mix of like Arabic and indigenous local African languages, and it was born on this island of Zanzibar. So I went to Zanzibar to study abroad, and they tell you that if you really want to get good at learning a language, that you need to find a community entry point. So a community entry point is like, you know, a local friend that's going to help introduce you to people and help you get connected. So I was, you know, studying my classes, but I was also looking for a community entry point. And one day I was just walking home from school, kind of saying my hellos on the street, and I meet this really goofy looking young guy. Like, he's a couple inches taller than me. I'm like 5'7". He has these bug eyes. Huge smile. His face is just so animated whenever he talks. It looks like just he's always telling jokes. And he was wearing this lime green polo shirt, I remember. So I end up meeting this guy. His name is Mahad. We start talking. I find out that he's also studying at the same university where I was, except he was studying English. And he was looking for somebody to help him teach or learn English. So I needed to learn Swahili. He needed to learn English. This was the beginning of a beautiful friendship, wasn't it? So I started becoming friends with Mahad, and we're hanging out. And it really took me a while to understand his English, because it was like he was watching all these American movies and trying to imitate what he thinks our accent is. And it just came out in a really, really weird way. And he had all of these like weird little sayings. And it was kind of amazing that he was studying English at the university level, because there was a lot of like very technical errors. So when Mahad and I would talk, I was never just Rebecca, I was always Mrs. Rebecca. And sometimes, for short, he would just call me Mrs. So sometimes I would ask Mahad very practical questions like, hey, where's the bathroom? Can you show me where it is? And he would always respond with, never mind, Mrs. Like, but seriously, where's the bathroom? Never mind, Mrs., we are together. Like, okay, I know we're together. Never mind. Okay, so I had to kind of get used to that. There was another thing he would say too, like, I would ask him if he could do something for me. Like, hey, Mahad, are you gonna pay for this taxi? And he would say, is enough. Like, is enough. Like, what is what enough? Like, are you gonna pay for this? Never mind, Mrs. Mahad, seriously, I need money. Never mind, Mrs., we are together. So our conversations could just go like that for hours, but I eventually kind of figured out how to understand him. But the best day, one of the best days of my life, was when Mahad told me that he was going to come up with his own English, you know, proverb or saying that he made up by himself. And I was like, all right, Mahad, you tell me it. And he was like, die by the sea, cry by the sea, who's my fucking wife? So, die by the sea, cry by the sea, who's my fucking wife? that's brilliant. That is so brilliant. And Mahad like had this way of like taking yes or no questions and turning it into like just a philosophical debate. Like, yeah, is enough? Is what enough? Who's my fucking wife? Aren't we all looking for our fucking wives? Like, I think that Mahad either just didn't know English at all, or maybe he was just brilliant in a way that none of us could ever understand. And I thought about like his little proverb that he said, and I'm like, man, that's really good. Like, that would be really fun to use as like, you know how sometimes people use quotes as an email tag, like as a tagline on your email, like, I'm emailing with Craig from work. And he's like, yeah, Rebecca, looking forward to a meeting tomorrow. And maybe he has a Martin Luther King Jr. quote, like, I'll stick to love, hate is too great a burden to bear. And then I'm like, yep, Craig, see you there. Die by the sea, cry by the sea, who's my fucking wife? It'd be funny. And then, like, I think Mahad had a lot of wisdom, because even yesterday, my boyfriend was telling me about the circumstance where he was at Cal Poly presenting, and that somebody just cut him off right in the middle of the presentation. Like, if he was Mahad, he would just tell that woman, never mind, missus. And if she just kept talking, he'd be like, shh, is enough. So I really came to appreciate Mahad and the weird little friendship that we had. And I met all of his family, and they were all from Pemba, which is the other island. Zanzibar's made up of two islands, the main island, Unguja, and then the other island, Pemba, which is much more rural. So I asked Mahad if we could take a weekend trip to Pemba so I could meet his family. And he said, of course, never mind, Mrs., we are together, which I think means yes, because we went. So we went to Pemba, and really, it's a beautiful island. It's not overrun by tourists. There's a lot of like just green rolling hills. There's tall palm trees, a lot of beautiful mango trees, jackfruit trees. So there's not much to do except to really enjoy the scenery and to kind of go visit different people in the village. So we visited his family in the village, and they gave me a 10-pound bag of cloves. Like 10 pounds of cloves. What do you do with cloves? Everyone there is a clove farmer. Like the air there even smells like cloves because there are so many clove trees around. So they gave me this 10-pound bag of cloves with like a little wink and like, give this to your parents. And what I think happened was like, there, if you want to get married, you have to pay a dowry for a girl. So I think they were like, this is the 20% down for your hand in marriage. Give this to your parents. So I took the 10-pound bag of cloves, which was massive, home, and I was like, what am I ever going to do with it? If anyone needs cloves, I have them. So, you know, after we visited his family in the village, we went back to their house, and we were just kind of sitting around in the living room. We had just eaten. And East Africa has a really rich culture of oral literature. So I was just kind of curious of, like, hearing some of the stories of Pemba, and I asked Mahad if he could tell me one of the stories. And he started to narrate the story about this like trickster hero, and his name was Aladdin, and he was always getting himself into the trouble and going on all of these adventures. And then there was an antagonist named, and his name was Jafari, and Jafari was trying to thwart Aladdin's plan, but then Aladdin had a genie that was trying to help him. And then I was like, hold on one second. Mahad, are you seriously narrating the plot to Disney's Aladdin to me right now in Swahili? He was. He was. So Mahad and I had a really weird, unconventional friendship. I did get really good at Swahili as a result of being his friend, but unfortunately, things just kind of fizzled out between us, especially like once I started dating other guys. He might have been mad that I took the 20% down clove payment, but then I didn't give him a chance to offer any livestock to my parents, so that's obviously a disappointment. But, you know, to this day, it's been like 5 years. I really have no idea where he is. Like, he's probably married by now. Probably has a couple kids. I mean, I wonder if he died by the sea. Maybe he cried by the sea. Who is his fucking wife?